Let's pray. Lord, we love you. And we do thank you for that truth, God, that we can enjoy you all the time. No matter what's going on, no matter whether we're winning or losing, no matter whether we have plenty or little, no matter whether we've had a good night's sleep or not, we can still enjoy you because you are God and you are our everything and you're always good all the time. We love you, Lord. We love you. And we love your word. And we love spending time together, worshiping you and growing in you. Be glorified this morning. And Lord, I just ask that you would continue to find pleasure this morning in our gathering together as we're all together with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, churchgoers, and I'm speaking of churchgoers at other churches, of course not at Evident Life Church, but churchgoers around the world have found themselves hard-pressed for something to say to the pastor as they're leaving the church building. Listen to these interesting statements. Pastor, it's just amazing. You always find something to fill up the time. Pastor, I don't care what everyone else says. I liked your sermon. Hey, Pastor, if I'd known that you were going to be good today, I would have invited my neighbor this week. Hey, did you know that there are 312 ceiling tiles in this room? I didn't count. I should have, but I don't know exactly how many there are. Don't count. Don't count. I don't want anybody to tell me how many ceiling tiles there are in this room ever. Okay, don't tell me. Hey, Pastor! You know, we just shouldn't make you preach so often. You know, process that one. You know what they're really saying, right? Anyway. But one of my favorites is always this one. And I actually have heard this one, not from anyone I'm sure in this room. But you know what, Pastor, that was pretty good considering you only work one day a week. Anyway, as we continue our journey through 1 Corinthians, we're in chapter 9. And the Apostle Paul is making some statements about how those God has called in the full-time ministry are called to hard work, and therefore they are worthy of receiving a wage. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 9, verse 13. And then we're going to be jumping into verse 19 right after that. Verse 13, do you not know that those who are employed in the temple service get their food from the temple, and those who serve at the altar share in the sacrificial offerings? In the same way, the Lord commanded that those who proclaim the gospel should get their living by the gospel. Again, I love God's word. I love teaching through a book of the Bible, verse by verse, chapter by chapter, topic by topic, because it allows us to cover really everything that God wants to say to us instead of just picking and choosing. And so, again, it was tempting this week. I'll just kind of blow by that because it's kind of awkward for the pastor to stand up on stage and say, hey, you know what? It's good that I get paid for this. But anyway, and it is. My family is very appreciative of that. Oh, Lord, thank you. But I love God's word because it lets us just dive into these things. And so Paul is saying, hey, look, there are some people that are called to be in full-time ministry. This is what God has called them to do. Yeah, there are others that are called to be carpenters and those that are called to be engineers and accountants. But then there are some that are called to be full-time in ministry and that's good and that they're to get their living from that. They're to receive their portion from that work that they do. And he makes reference to the Levites, those priestly people who are called to work in the temple full time. And if we look back, we see the 12 tribes of Israel and they're going in the promised land and God's dividing it all up and he's giving them, you know, their portion and their blessing. And all these 11 tribes, he says, here it is. Here's your land. Go enjoy it. Work it. Be prosperous in that land for it's from the Lord. And then one tribe, there's no land left. And they're like, whoa, what's going on? He says, your portion, your blessing is the Lord. Your portion is the Lord. Your inheritance is the Lord. You are being set apart to minister unto the Lord and to minister to my people. And so then he calls the other 11 tribes who are prospering on the land to bring in their offerings. And the Levites would be able to receive their portion from that which was brought in from the others. It's God's way. And Paul is saying, hey, look, that hasn't changed. It's still happening today. So we got those who are out preaching the gospel and those who are called to do it full time, that they would continue to receive their portion from that. It's a different way of living. It definitely is. But God has a way for providing for all of his people, just as even the word came forth this morning from Matthew. That he takes care of us. But Paul, in his love for the gospel and in his love for Jesus, he says that he's even willing to lay down that right if it means that more people are going to come to Christ. He says, look, I have the right to receive my provision from preaching the gospel. That's the right way. That's God's way of doing things. But I'm even willing to lay that aside. I'm even willing to forego that. If people have an issue with that, then don't worry about it. Don't pass the plate. Don't mess around with that, because ultimately I want people to know Jesus. I want people to hear the gospel message. He wanted to see God glorified, and he wanted to see people come to Christ no matter what it cost him personally. He would do whatever it takes. And this leads us into some additional interesting statements that the Apostle Paul makes in chapter 9 of 1 Corinthians. So let's go now to verse 19 as we continue in our study. And this is going to be our primary focus this morning. Didn't want to just blow by verses 1 through 18. Want to make sure we handle those, but we're going to focus primarily this morning in verse 19 through 23. Paul says this. Again, this is coming from a guy who, for the last couple chapters and the beginning of this chapter, has been saying, look, I'll do whatever it takes for people to hear the gospel. I'll lay down whatever rights I got to lay down, because people need to know Jesus. And he says, for though I am free from all, verse 19, for though I'm free from all, I've made myself a servant to all. Though I'm free from all, I've made myself a servant to all, that I might win more of them. Verse 20, to the Jews, I became as a Jew in order to win Jews. To those under the law, I became as one under the law, though not being myself under the law, that I might win those under the law. To those outside the law, I became as one outside the law, not being outside the law of God, but under the law of Christ, that I might win those outside the law. To the weak, I became weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all people, that by all means I might save some. I do it all for the sake of the gospel, that I may share with them in its blessing. Title of the message this morning is Be Relevant. Be Relevant. Definition of relevant. What does relevant mean? It means closely connected. Can also mean relating to someone in an appropriate way. Closely connected or relating to someone in an appropriate way. Believe Paul's message in this passage of Scripture is that we need to be relevant. How many of you know that it's important for us to be able to understand what somebody's saying when we're communicating with them? We need to listen and we need to understand them. And if we don't understand what somebody's saying, we can misinterpret it, and then it can get us all sideways and twisty and all kinds of a mess if we don't understand one another. If the message that is being given and received isn't relevant. Listen to this story. I picked this story up in my studies this week. It says, once an American pastor went to see one of the new church members in the hospital. The hospital patient had recently arrived from China and could not speak English. When the pastor arrived at the hospital, he took hold of the man's hand and began to pray for him. As he finished his prayer, the patient began to shout something in Chinese. Now, the pastor didn't understand what he was saying. The man continued to shout something in Chinese. I wish I knew something I could start shouting in Chinese, but I don't, okay? I'm in the same position as his pastor, right? And this patient, he's shouting things in Chinese. Mandarin, I don't know, one of those dialects over there. There's so many of them. He's shouting it out, but the pastor could not understand him. Within a few moments, the patient made one last attempt to communicate. He gasped for air, and then he died. The pastor was called to preach the man's funeral. And during the visitation, the pastor repeated the phrase that the man had been shouting to him. He repeated it to some of this man's relatives, and he asked them, "Would you please let me know what amazing thing that this guy was shouting out just as he was passing away?" The relative listened and then gave the interpretation. That interpretation was, "Move over. You're standing on my oxygen tube. I can't breathe." I know I set that up to be really deep. I hope that really didn't happen. But this funny story is a great analogy. And it reminds us that Christians need to understand what other people are saying. We need to be able to understand so that we don't step on their oxygen tube and suck the life out of other people. We got to be able to effectively and lovingly minister to other people and bring them life and not just squeeze the life out of them. I want to show this video. This might be how some people feel after running into some Christians, some lost people. Check this out.
As you know, the concept of the suction pump is centuries old. Really, that's all this is, except that instead of sucking water, I'm sucking life. I've just sucked 1 year of your life away. I might one day go as high as 5, but I really don't know what that would do to you, so let's just start with what we have. What did this do to you? Tell me. And remember, this is for posterity, so be honest. How do you feel? Interesting.
Okay. It's important that as believers, as we're going out, and we're doing life with people in the world, that we're doing life with people that don't know Jesus. And as we're wanting to minister to them, just as that pastor was wanting to minister to that Chinese congregant and bless him and pray over him and see God come and do great things, we got to do it appropriately. We got to do it in a relevant way so that we don't bring something that's received as though it's void of life, or worse, that sucks the life right out of them. And feel like, what was his name? Wesley from The Princess Bride. That's a great show. I've seen that movie so many times. Look, the Apostle Paul wanted to bring life so much so to other people that he would do whatever it took. He'd do whatever it took in order to bring the life of Jesus Christ to those who were lost. He was willing to sacrifice his Christian liberty. Again, we've talked about that the last several weeks. He was willing to lay down his way of living. He was willing, even as he said in the beginning of chapter 9, he is willing to lay down his income, his rights, his Christian liberty, the things that he eats, the things that he drinks, what he'll do, what his preferences are, what he likes to listen to on the radio, whatever it might be. He's willing to lay anything and everything down so that people who are lost and going to hell will hear the gospel and some will be saved. He wanted to make sure in that process that he wasn't going to be sucking the life out of anybody either. Let's go back to verse 19. He says, "For though I am free from all," in other words, remember, though I have Christian liberty, I have freedom in Christ, I don't have to listen to what other people are saying. I've got my relationship with the Lord. I know who I am in Christ. I'm free in Christ. I know the freedom that I have. Though I'm free from all, I have made myself a servant to all. I've laid down my freedom. I've put aside my Christian liberty. Why? Why would we do that? It's such a blessing. We're finally free. Free to be you and me, whatever that old saying was. Finally free! Paul's saying, I'm free, but I'm just going to lay it down. Why? Because that I might win more of them. Paul was willing to do whatever it took. But I want to make sure that we, before we continue, that we're well aware of this truth. That Paul's going along with the opinions and even in many instances the practices of others that don't understand Christian liberty, that even going along with the opinions and beginning to fit in even with the lost and the worldly, does not mean that he's compromising his convictions nor being two-faced. And we're going to talk about that a little more. He's not being that way. All it means is that he's getting involved in other people's lives. He's gaining their confidence. He's gaining relationship with them. He's gaining access to be able to speak into other people's lives for the sole purpose of bringing Jesus to them. So that they too would be free now and forever. And so we're going to look at three different groups of people that Paul purposefully became relevant with. The first one, number one, is Paul became as a Jew to the Jews, those who were under the law, verse 20. What does that mean? Well, think about it this way. We've got a lot of people in the church and a lot of people just in society that are religious people, right? We got a lot of religious people in the East Valley. It's a different religion. But there are also a lot of religious people in the church, in the evangelical church even, that are just religious people. And it's easy for those of us who have freedom in Jesus and we just, you know, we love God and we're all excited and we've got this amazing relationship with the Lord and we're just on fire for God. It's easy for us to look at religious people and kind of make fun of them almost and kind of write them off. Paul is saying that's not what we do. We need to go after them, those who are just religious but don't have a relationship with Jesus. They need to really know Jesus. They need to understand the real gospel. They need to be alive in Christ, and we need to go after them. We need to reach them, and we need to be relevant. That, if that means, church, those of you walking in freedom in Christ, if that means that you need to cut your hair, that you need to dress really conservatively, and you need to start listening to hymns and singing them and learning the words to him so that you can go and hang out with some religious people and spend time with them, then you need to do that. If God's put people, religious people in your life, you need to do that. You need to go where they go and begin to gain relationship with them. Why? So that you can then bring Jesus to them. There are a lot of people that are bound up in dead religion and tradition. They need life. They don't need us just saying, oh, those people, they don't get it, and writing them off. They need Jesus. The second group that Paul addresses and says, hey, I'm going to make sure I'm relevant to these people. That's Paul becoming as one outside the church to the unchurched. He becomes as one outside the church to the unchurched, those who don't observe the law, the Gentiles of the day. And like Paul, we need to do the same thing. We need to be willing to go into the world and to relate to people who are outside the church. We need to be willing to get out of the comfortable four walls of the church, the little church bubble, and go out and do life with people who are lost, who may be messy, that we think, man, that's messy. That's scary. Yeah. So, that might mean that we need to let our hair out a little bit. You know, we're going to go after the religious people. We might need to trim our hair up a little bit. Dress a little more conservatively. You know, God's calling you in a season to go out, or a group of people you got to go out and reach in the world. Those who are unchurched, he might be like, hey, you need to let your hair down. You need to change up your wardrobe a little bit. You need to turn the music up. Is that wrong? Is that unbiblical? No. Is being relevant to the unchurched compromise? It doesn't have to be. It could be. You never want to go there. But we're called to reach those outside the church. We've got to be willing to go and do that. The third group that he talks about, Paul says that he became weak to reach the weak Christians. That's in verse 22. And like Paul, we've got to be willing, and we've talked about this several weeks ago, and I think a couple weeks we talked about this, how we've got to be willing to refrain from doing things that we're allowed to do as believers. We need to refrain from some of our Christian liberty in order to encourage new believers who don't have a full understanding yet. And I'm going to go there with it. I thought about this, and I'm just going to throw it out there because it's the reality of the culture we live in today. The culture of Paul was a little different back then, but the culture we live in today, one of these issues is drinking. Biblically, drinking is okay. Getting drunk is a sin. As mature believers, we got to be sensitive. Because the culture that we live in, alcohol is so abused and used for so many wrong reasons, and it's so destructive in the culture that we live in today, isn't it? It's very destructive. It's ruining lives, it's ruining families, it's ruining nations, our nation. Drugs and alcohol. And as Christians, we're representing the opposite of destruction, the opposite of addiction, the opposite of what so much of that, what happens because of that. And so all I'm saying is we got to be very careful. We got to be sensitive to that. Because we do have weak believers. We have new believers. We have people coming out of things, and we need to be encouraging them and not bringing it right back into their face. I don't know. I hope that makes sense. I hope we're understanding. I hope you hear what I'm saying and not hear what I'm not saying. And we have Christian liberty, but we've got to exercise it very, very carefully. And we've got to be sensitive to others because it's not about us. It's not about what we have the right to do when we want to do it. It's about other people. That's what Paul is saying. He's saying it's all about Jesus and it's all about others. And so, whoever the other person is, if they're religious, if they're worldly, if they're a new Christian, I'm going to make sure that I lay down whatever it is I need to lay down in order to go after them. Because it's not about me. It's not about what I want to eat right now. It's not about what I want to say right now. It's not about how I want to dress right now. It's not about what kind of music I like to listen to or not like to listen to. It's not about any of that stuff. It's about Jesus receiving the reward of his suffering, period. And there are lost people, hurting people that need to know Jesus, and I'm going to go after them. I'm going to go after them, even if I have to go after them without making a penny. I'm going to go after them. That's the attitude that we've got to adopt as believers. And then let God walk it out through us. We've got to be willing to trust Him. I love the word that Shannon brought earlier, that we are going to miss God if we're not willing to just be open to let Him use us how He wants to use us. The Puckett's going to miss this opportunity to receive a blessing from the Lord if they would have just closed their mind and say, that's just going to be too messy and hard for us as a family. We just can't go there. There are people that the Lord wants you to minister to. There are people that the Lord has assignments for you to share Jesus with, to share the gospel with. And it may look messy and it may look hard to you. But is God bigger? Is He able? Then just come into agreement and say yes and trust Him. And when He takes you into those areas and into relationships with other people that you don't feel very relevant with, that you don't feel very connected with, that even scare you, be willing to just go and trust God. And please be sensitive and let the Holy Spirit lead you in a relevant way into their lives. It's important. Eternity's at stake here, folks. Not your comfort. I mean, come on. Lay it aside. Let's go. Let's go get them. Woo! That's what I said that a lot. this weekend in basketball. Let's go get them. Come on. I know you're tired. Let's go get them. One more game. It's got to be our motivation, just like Paul's, that becoming relevant, laying down our own rights and our preferences so that we can see people saved. Again, becoming relevant is not compromise. We cannot compromise. We cannot fall into sin because we want to go out in the world and reach somebody that's in sin. Being relevant isn't engaging in sinful activities with sinners. That is not relevance. That will have the exact opposite effect. Oh, I know. Pastor said, let's be relevant. So I got to start going to all those rated R movies that use the Lord's name in vain and that show things on the screen that nobody should be looking at. But I got to be relevant. I got to be able to talk to the world about those things. I'm sorry. Don't go there. Don't go there. I got to start using these, you know, this language. I know it's cursing and all that kind of stuff, but I got to be relevant because I got to fit in. Don't go there. You don't have to do that. You don't have to compromise. Paul didn't compromise. Yet look what look how he was used by God. He didn't compromise, but he was willing to become relevant. He was willing to go. He was willing to lay down his rights in order to reach any and every person that he could. But he never compromised. If the Lord can give Paul the grace to do that, if the Holy Spirit can lead Paul in that way, he can do it with you and with me. Where we can be relevant to everyone that God calls us to minister to. We can do it. We can do it and never compromise and glorify God throughout the whole process. That's exciting. Is God big? He's big. I'll just answer that. Yes, he's big. Finally, be relevant because God is relevant. Now, as I was studying this and I was praying through it and putting all this together, I was just thinking, the most relevant thing, the most relevant person, the most relevant reality ever and for all times is God. Certain dress and certain music is relevant to certain people and certain times and in history and all that, but God is eternal. He's been relevant forever and always, and he's relevant to every single person. God is relevant. We often hear how God meets people right where they are. I'm sure some of you have said that, even in your testimony. God met me right where I was. He came and he met me right where I was. Well, why can't the church do the same? If we are followers of Christ, if we're people who are bringing the presence of God and bringing the kingdom of God and bringing the message of Jesus and bringing the light, we're called the salt and the light. We're to be the light unto the world. We are image bearers and presence bearers of God himself. And if God can meet people right where they are, why can't the church meet people right where they are? I know the church hasn't been very good at that, but we can be. By God's grace and by just being willing and open and saying yes to God, we can be used by God in that way and we can begin to meet people right where they are. Just like God does. We can become relevant because God is relevant. And we are his church. So we can be relevant. I mean, there's this whole idea that the church is so irrelevant and always will be. But if God is truly relevant and the church is God's church and his representation here on this earth, then the church can be relevant and should be relevant. Well, let's talk about that. How does that happen? To be relevant, we've got to, number one, be willing to change, even if we don't want to. We got to be willing to change. You know, throughout history, the church has changed. There are practices today in the church that weren't there in the early church. And that's not bad. That's not wrong. It's just history. It's life. It's God moving in different ways, in different seasons, in different generations. Everything, there's a time and a season, a purpose under heaven. And God is moving. He's changing. He's changing. And the church must be willing to change and not get stuck in our ways and say, it's my way or the highway. You don't like it. Take a hike. You're going to hell. That's what we say, isn't it? When we get stuck in our ways. Paul's saying, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to become as a Jew to the Jew. I'm going to become as a Gentile to the Gentile. I'm going to become as a weak to those who are weak. I'm going to be willing to change. Because I want people to know Jesus. I'm not going to be rigid. I'm going to go after people. The church must be willing to go beyond good intentions and be willing to truly relate. Because I know most people in the church, people who really know Jesus, they have good intentions. But then, all of our personal preferences get in there and we never act on those good intentions. Paul acted on those good intentions and we can do the same. We truly can. Must be willing to put ourselves in the shoes of others. You know, one way we can do it is, and I'm just going to throw out these very, very quickly. We can adopt some modern forms and relevant forms of communication. You want to reach young people? You want to speak into the lives of young people? You probably need to be involved in social media. You probably need to know how to text. One of our brothers who moved back to New York, Dan Gilligan. How many of you remember Dan? Dan Gilligan. Great man, wonderful man, loves people. He's an evangelist. You want to know one of his primary ways of evangelizing? He goes out and he just meets somebody, says hi to them, gets to know them enough in one time, just gets to know them enough, and says, hey, you know what? Man, it's been great to get to know you. I do this daily text where I just send out this text. It's just a word of encouragement, man. I'd love to encourage you every day and just send you this text every day to encourage you. And he gets their phone number, puts it in his text blast, and he sends out encouraging text. And often it's from Our Daily Bread, that little publication from Our Daily Bread. It's a kind of a synopsis of something like that, which is going to include God's Word and encouragement from the Lord, really, into their lives. And so he's 60, I don't know, 8 years old or something like that. I don't know how old you are, Dan, if you're listening to this, but you're still young in the Lord. So he uses modern technology, current stuff, relevant stuff, to be able to reach people, to show God's love to people. Got to be willing, even in our teaching and styles. Jesus would go out, and he went out on a boat. Remember, he went out on the boat because he had all these people he wanted to make sure they could all hear. So he went out on a boat. They went out just a little ways, and it created almost like this natural amphitheater effect to where his voice was just resonating off of the water so that everybody could hear him. You know, today we get microphones and sound systems and everything, and that's fine. We play music that's relevant, that people can, yeah, you know, I like that beat because I hear that beat other places, and I like that beat. It's attractive. It's something that I'm used to hearing. And next thing you know, they're hearing the lyrics, you know, about Jesus as they're listening to this music. Again, the Youngs introduced me to Lecrae, and you've heard me say, I'm not a big hip-hop kind of guy. That's just not my style. Well, they said, okay, Eric, we appreciate that from a style perspective, but listen to the message that this guy is putting out there. And it's incredible. He's preaching the gospel in this hip-hop rap stuff. And I listened to it, and all I could say is, glory to God. Praise the Lord. Thank you, God, that you have somebody that's relevant to people who like that music and love that stuff. Because as soon as people start listening to that instead of the other garbage that we had to listen to at our basketball tournament, it was offensive. Instead of listening to that stuff and listening to the same sounding music, but is uplifting the name of Jesus Christ. Oh, it can change a life just being relevant. But we've got to be willing to go there. I'll listen to that now. I'm like becoming a Lecrae fan. Okay, maybe a fan is a little, maybe too much. But I'm appreciating his relevance and what he's doing for the kingdom of God, just like Paul did back in the day. You know, this cracked me up. Paul wore a toga when he would, you know, preach and talk to people, especially when he went and talked to the learned, the religious people. He probably had a toga on, and they invited him in because he looked like them and he talked like them and he held himself in that way. And they were willing to hear from him, all the religious followers of the law. And he probably wore a toga. Now, what would happen if we said, that's the way Paul did it, so we got to keep doing it that way? I'm telling you what, if I came up here in a toga, none of you would bring guests anymore. If I was wearing my bathrobe every Sunday up here, you would not bring another person to church. You need to know Jesus, but you don't need to know Pastor Eric. That would be the word all over, right? So even our wardrobes, it can be important. I could do that sometime. That would be awesome. We got to be creative. You know what? The very first verse of the Bible speaks of the creativity of God. In the beginning, God created. He created. And we're made in His image. How can we be relevant? We can be creative. I think of our brother Mark Sakura. That's his life. That's his whole role. He's creative. He uses creativity, the creativity that God's given him. And he uses it to glorify God and to be relevant and to reach our culture. We need to be willing to be creative. Sometimes the church can get such in a box that we just stifle creativity. And we get so religious that we stifle creativity. Let's use the creativity that's in us because we're in God's image to glorify Him and to reach people that don't know Jesus. But to be relevant, let's go to point number two. We must go. To be relevant, we must go. We're called to go and to engage with the lost. Yeah, we gotta adopt kind of modern ways and current ways so that we can relate that way. But we've got to go. If we don't go, we're not relevant. If we stay inside of our church walls or inside of our homes or inside of our little Christian bubbles, which are beautiful. I love that I live in a Christian bubble. I love that I have support. Believers that love me and care for me, that I do life with, that encourage me, that protect me, that help me as I walk through this life. It's amazing. It's God's way. We need that. We have to have that. But we can't just live only there. We got to be willing to go. We are called to go. What's the Great Commission? Go. It's not stay. It's go. We got to engage. We got to talk with the lost. We got to go to them. We got to befriend them. We got to spend time with them. We got to listen to them. We've got to have lunch with them. We've got to carve out time, even maybe on our Saturday, when we just want to sleep in and go have coffee with somebody because they need to know Jesus. They need to know Jesus. We need to invite them to our park day. We're going to have a church park day coming up. I mean, just whatever it is, to our potlucks, to our gathering. We need to include people in our lives and be very open because Jesus did that, didn't he? Jesus was relevant with us. He didn't remain seated at the right hand of His Heavenly Father, did He? And say, you know what, I really like it here. I'm all good. No. He became relevant, and what did He do? He came to us. His Heavenly Father said, go. He said, yes, I will go. And He came to us. He stepped down from His place, and He came to us. And not only did He just come to us, but He put on flesh. He became relevant to us by putting on flesh and becoming a man like us and dealing with the junk of the world that we have to deal with. He became relevant. He came to us in order that we may be saved, to redeem us, to bring us back into relationship. And we are Christians. We're little Christ. We're His disciples. And we are to do what He did and to be like Him. And so, like Jesus, who stepped away from His place of honor at the right hand of the Father and put on flesh, we need to do the same. And we need to go and become relevant to the lost so that they will also be redeemed like us. And there's no greater joy than seeing one who was once lost being found and becoming alive in Jesus. One who was once bound up in sin becoming free and walking as a free man or a free woman in the love and the reality of Jesus Christ. There's nothing better than that. But it means that we have to become relevant. We've got to go and we've got to lay down our rights and go. We can do it. We can do it. The third and final point, to be relevant, we must share Jesus. It's not just about going and hanging out with people. It's not just about making a friend or feeling like, you know, I spent some time with somebody who was lost. Check it off my list. I was relevant. Did what the pastor told me to do. We've got to be willing to change. We've got to go. And we've got to share Jesus. The most important component of relevance is Jesus. The world is full of broken and lost people. we know that Jesus is the answer. He's the only answer. He's it. Because Jesus is relevant to every single person. Every single person. Jesus is relevant. The world's longing for these kinds of relevant Christians. The kind of believers, the kind of church that's willing to change. The kind of church, the kind of Christian that's willing to go, that's willing to come to them. And yes, the world, the lost, are longing for people who know Jesus to tell them about Jesus. The world is longing for that. Lost are longing to know Jesus Christ. They really are. They may not know that right now. Things may be so twisted in their head right now that they think that's not the answer. But ultimately, we know that that is the answer. And every longing that every human heart has, Jesus is the answer to that longing of every human heart. So Jesus is relevant. We have what every person needs and has to have. Jesus. We must be willing to become relevant and to remain relevant. Amen? I want to ask you to stand up. I want to tell you one more quick story. This whole message of relevance came a week after God began to awaken me to this truth. And it's just great how it's just right in sequence in 1 Corinthians. So Velvet and I went to our neighborhood HOA meeting, and after the HOA meeting, it was a potluck, and we had a party with the neighborhood. I typically don't like to go to those because they last all night long, and everybody has had way too much to drink, and you could just imagine what that's like, right? And so, my personal preferences are, I just prefer just to totally stay away from that. We went to the HOA meeting this year, and we stayed for the gathering afterwards. And before we ate, the person whose house was hosting it asked if I would open in prayer and pray for the food. I was blown away, actually. Well, we have a pastor here in our neighborhood. Let's have him bless the food before we eat. So I prayed. We hung out for about an hour and a half, 2 hours with everyone there, and just had a good time, and we were chatting and just relating to people in our neighborhood. We found out that somebody up the street had passed away. A young person had passed away because they overdosed. This happened 9 months ago. We didn't know that. Nobody in the neighborhood had known that. But the president of the HOA told us that, and we were all, whoa, we didn't know that. This group of young people live in this house aren't very connected to the neighborhood at all. Found out about that. Moved on my heart and on Velvet's heart. We ended up taking a card over them, a sympathy card, and a whole bunch of blueberry muffins over them just to bless them and tell them we're so sorry that we just heard about this. If there's anything you need, please let us know. If there's anything we can do for you, let us know. But before we went over to do that, I wanted to know the young man's name. I went over to the president of the HOA who was hosting this party, and I asked him. He said, you know what, I don't know his name. But you know what he said to me? He said, Eric, he said, I'm kind of all over the place right now with God. So I'm a Christian. I go to a big church here in the East Valley. I've been going there for 10 years, but I'm all over the place with what I believe and what I practice. Would you just be willing to spend some time with me? I just want to hear what you have to say about what it is to be a Christian. Do you see what's happening? Out of going where we didn't want to go, where we weren't feeling comfortable, but because we went and spent time with people in our neighborhood that live around us, because we just spent time with them and ate some food and played some little yard games and stuff like that with them, we have opportunities to minister to them, and we have them calling out and asking us, tell us about Jesus, tell us about this walk with Christ. What's that all about? It's just being relevant. That's all it is. It's like no work. I'm blown away, and I'm ashamed that this hasn't been how I live every single week of my life. Because there's fruit that comes from a heart and a life that's willing to be relevant and just go to people and be with them and deal with the messiness and the stuff that we don't like. Deal with it and let God be God. Let's close our eyes. Jesus is relevant. If there's somebody here today that wants Jesus to be relevant to them, if you want Jesus to be relevant to you, if you long to know Jesus Christ for real as your Lord and Savior, if you're ready for a whole new life, if you're ready to know God, if you're ready to experience Him, if you're ready for a relationship with Him, I want to give you the opportunity to do that this morning. You can start that relationship just by asking Him and inviting Him into your life, by telling Him to come, and He will come. Just pray this after me. Jesus, I need You. I want You. Come into my life. I welcome You into my life. Make me a new person. Fill the voids in my heart. Consume me. I want You to be my Lord. And I confess that You are the Son of God and that You are my Savior. Forgive me of my sins. Forgive me of my past. I choose to follow You now all the days of my life. Thank You for my new life in You. Amen. If you prayed that prayer this morning, you've just made the biggest decision of your life. To have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Just as He came to this earth 2,000 years ago and walked as a man, He's come into your life. I want to encourage you, if you prayed that prayer, if you would just do something just to acknowledge that this morning. If you prayed that prayer, would you just raise your hand up, put it up in the air? We're not going to ask you to do anything else. Just raise it up. Amen. Amen. See several hands raised. Thank You, God. I'm going to ask that some of the other people in the church, just after we dismiss, that would just come alongside of those who raised their hands and celebrate with them. We also have Bibles. We want to make sure that everybody has a Bible. Because that's the Word of God. That's the voice of God speaking right to you. That's incredible, incredible, incredible thing that God's given us is His Word. And we just also want to just pray with you and love on you and care for you. Amen.